This is Jules Schiller on ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Statler and Waldorf, Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, Jeremy Clarkson, John Elliott, the grumpy old men stereotype is just getting stronger. But is getting grumpy as we get older a natural process? Is it just hormones and physical decay? Is it something that only happens in the West? Here is comedian Russell Cain discussing it on the BBC.
My theory is this. We think ourselves to death, yeah? The less happy you are, the less likely you are to live a long and happy life. Lonely people die before. Now, we know that, on the whole, women tend to be, not always, more emotionally connected than men. If they've got a problem, they get their friends over. Hey, I've got Claude over, I've got Tess over. We talked about the problem, there wasn't a solution, but we lit a candle, and do you know what? I feel better just for talking about it. Whereas men...
That's how it works.
Whereas men will be like, I have a problem, I'm going to hold it inside till it's a diamond, then poo it out and die. Now, the evidence is, in cultures like parts of Sicily, Sardinia, Japan, where there are villages where men can't sort of do that isolation thing, I need time on my own, and the houses are full of aunts and grandmas and daughters, the men's mortality rate equalises with the women. We are literally, by being grumpy, thinking ourselves to death. We go, oh, I'm not going to speak to anyone, heart attack, death at 60, leaving behind a generation of women, relatively young these days, who then have to pretend to grieve. How will I survive without the miserable sod? What a disaster. Without Barry mocking my parking, how will I survive? You can park forever in the crematorium. Goodbye, Barry.
Yes, grumpiness is so often associated with old age and also with men. And I'm joined now by healthy ageing expert Mark McKeon, who believes that there is something we can do about it. Thanks for coming on the show, Mark.
Hi, Jules.
You just heard that Russell Cain there talking about grumpiness, yeah. You know, in a sort of global sense. Do you think it is something in particular to the West, to white culture?
I think it is, and I think he was quite poignant in his jokes there because he was giving us a bit of a lesson about, you know, sharing our feelings when sometimes the girls do it a lot better than us. But actually, I think there's two reasons. One is just attitudinal. That's the way you think and the way you allow yourself to think. And the second one is hormonal, and that's just a fact.
Well, how do men fight that? I mean, no one wants to, you know, get past 50 and be grumpy and, you know, ringing up stations complaining about young kids or just, you know, yelling yeah. at people with boom boxes and stuff. So how do we prevent that grumpiness from coming on?
I think the first thing is awareness. We just naturally have lower testosterone levels as we get older, and that affects a lot of things. You're not as strong as you used to be and so on. But it also means that you can just have a lower mood. So just aware of that, and, you know, being aware of that is the first thing. And I think the second thing is always just having something to look forward to, which tends to improve your mood. And that looking forward to can be today, this week, and longer-term things like holidays and so on. So a lot of guys, I think, just get into the habit of being a bit grumpy, and I don't even realise they are. And, you know, it's, no, I'm not grumpy. And they're just not aware of it. So I think awareness is the first thing. And then just to continue to be forward-looking is the second.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny when you work in the media because you get, you know, you get all sorts of texts coming in and tweets. And my favourite, and the occasional grumpy one, let's not sort of beat around the bush, my favourite one, Mark, was a guy who was complaining about me complaining on air. So we got into like an Inception-like situation where he was complaining about my complaints. So we seem to be pretty pointless. Is relationships a big part of this? I mean, God, you know, like you've lived together for a long time, you're both getting on each other's nerves. Do you need to think work at your relationship if you're still in it post 50?
Yeah, you definitely have to keep the fun element. You know, there's the other elements, the physical elements, but the fun element is really, you know, important. And to be, I think honesty is a really important part of that because a lot of people, if they're in longer term relationships and you're getting a bit older, people just get used to each other and they'll talk about the grumpy old bugger to somebody else, but they just accept it internally. So if you're not, I don't have the ability to sort of capture your own thoughts and understand that you're allowing yourself to just to be a bit negative or a bit irritable, it's great if somebody tells you. You mightn't like it at the time, but if you go away and reflect on it, think, oh, you know what, I am being a bit more negative. Because people just, they just don't realise And they might need a reminder if they can't do it themselves.
We're getting lots of SMSs in on this, Mark. People are saying that we just lose patience with life in general.
Yeah,
Men don't get grumpy after 50. They just finally realise they can do and say what they like. The older you get, the more you realise you don't have to put up with wankers. So there is there is part of it where people sort of enjoy being a bit grumpy, wouldn't you say, as well?
Yeah, they're being less tolerant, but by the time people get to that age, sometimes the kids don't need them as much. You still love the kids, but they're not there and you're caring for them the whole time. You're probably getting to the latter stages of your career and you might have the influence and the ambitions that you used to have. And physically, you're probably not as strong as capable as you used to be. And I think a lot of times people just, they give up. And that sort of not suffering fools gladly and being more honest, I actually think that's people just sort of giving up on things too much. And I think you've got to keep yourself looking forward as much as you can. And the other thing is there's, you know, three sort of physical elements that just hugely important that a lot of people don't do. And that's a bit of cardio exercise, a bit of strength exercise, and really importantly, a bit of stretching.
If you have an opinion or you are considered grumpy, 1-300-222-891, give us a call and tell us why. Or if you have an opinion on grumpiness, whether it's a good or bad thing, or whether you are accused of it, 0467-922-891. I guess there's also the element of technology and the world just increasing sort of beyond your comprehension as well, Mark, and people just feeling so bewildered that they, as soon as, you know, they look at a bunch of kids looking at their phones on public transport, they just sort of want to yell.
Yeah, there seems to be no middle ground there. A lot of people are just bewildered by tech, and then you've got the other extreme that just today a fellow was telling me he wears a he actually gets points for the number of steps he does and the amount of hours he sleeps and so on. And he's become just obsessed with it. And rather than just using something as a tool for your own convenience to have on when you want and be able to use the apps and the websites and so on that really work for you, people are either shying away from it and resisting that change or going so far they're becoming obsessed with it. And I really think there's a middle ground that you can really find where you can use the tech to your advantage without being scared of it or overwhelmed by it.
You're a high-performance coach, Mark. How much does exercise play a role in mental health? I mean, I know I'm sort of changing the subject a little bit, but it is probably relevant to men over 50 who aren't as, you know, they don't go to gyms and don't exercise as much as younger guys or younger people. Does exercise play a part in, you know, I mean, just, I know you're not a medical specialist, but do you think it's important?
No, it's something that I study healthy aging a lot, and it's your point is a really good one. And in fact, one of the most beneficial treatments for people who have anxiety and depression and so on is exercise, because they can control it, and doing the exercise actually makes them feel better. And that naturally low testosterone thing, if you exercise, you actually get other hormones being released that actually do make you feel more positive. And also, I think, you know, a lot of people get grumpy because they can't, you know, they can't turn, they can't bend, they can't do the things that they used to be able to do. And just to complete that point, a lot of people train, you know, don't train at all, but a lot of people train too much. People, as they get old, train way too hard, way, way too hard. And if you're not an elite athlete anymore, and that when once you're training above about 60% of what's comfortable to you, all you're doing is increasing your injury potential and putting your whole health at risk. People train way too hard.
So, Mark, do you ever get grumpy? That's a question to you. I mean, you're here talking about how not to get. Surely even you as a high-performance coach, a man who thinks about life and thinks about his mental outlook, surely occasionally you must just snap slightly?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I suppose, you know, what I try to do is when I have those thoughts, I call that a weak thought, a grumpy thought, I call that a weak thought. And when I have those weak thoughts, then I try to ask myself, well, how do I feel when I have this thought? And the answer to that is grumpy or angry. And then I say to myself, well, what's a better thought? And look, I'm very lucky. I feel very grateful. And I know not everybody's in that situation where they have fantastic things in their life. But if you can catch yourself when you're having those negative thoughts and then thinking about replacing it with a better thought, then it often stops you saying, you're letting that grumpiness come out. You know, the things you say that you often regret, and you can damage relationships and you end up in arguments and all sorts of things. So You know, it doesn't mean I don't speak my opinion and I stick up for things when I need to, but I just try to be aware if I'm being grumpy for no reason.
Now, you've worked in the AFL, Mark. Do you make a special exception for AFL fans? Because they can get really grumpy and they can, you know, a lot of people bring a lot of anger to AFL games. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think it's absolutely fantastic because they let it out as long as 1 hour after the game they let it go.
Yes.
I think, you know, for people to get there and vent and scream, and people do it in all sorts of different ways, and I think that's a tremendous release of emotion and a way to rebalance as long as they don't, you know, take it beyond that. So, you know, yeah, if I have a bad golf game or something like that, or my team loses, I will sulk for an hour, but then that's the limit. And if people can put control over that, then I think they're much better off the next day and it keeps them forward-looking.
All right, Mark McKean, thank you so much for joining us to talk grumpiness.
All the best, Jules. Have a great afternoon.
Good. That's Mark McKean there, high-performance coach. Todd says, I'm not grumpy, just too many happy fools. Oh, happy fools around. Nick from Jamestown says, hi, Jules, get stuffed. Just joking. Julie from the Barossa says, I bought my grumpy 55-year-old husband a T-shirt that says, I never dreamed that one day I would be a grumpy old man, but here I am killing it. It's unworn and on Gumtree, if anyone is interested. Well, there is sometimes a delight in being grumpy, and it can be quite funny, but I think Mark's point is that if it kind of descends into bitterness and enmity and feelings of unfulfillment, then it's probably not that healthy.